that everything happens for a reason, right? I mean, if you don't encounter challenges in your life, just like what I had as well, you don't get to expose yourself to be stronger, because sometimes we don't get stronger if we don't expose to these challenges or weaknesses that we have, right? So if I was too confident already as a child, maybe I won't something else happened. Maybe I'm not a public speaker. Maybe I'm a actress or whatever. Because something happens. Everything happens for a reason. And I truly believe personally that my journey, even my challenges and problems in life in the past, I believe they are very important, because that made me who I am today, and that made me become stronger as I am today.
Welcome to Extend Women in Tech podcast. We are a tech community podcast highlighting stories of women in tech and inspiring everyone into tech. We aim to provide a platform for sharing experiences, insights, and success stories that inspire and empower others in this dynamic industry. I'm your host, Ade Tarefa. Here with me is Jonah, my co-host, who is here to share her exciting update about her upcoming book, Learning Microsoft Azure. In today's episode, we will discuss the motivation behind writing the book, the research process, and some key takeaways that listeners can look forward to. It's truly an honor, Jonah, to have you as a your share your valuable insights and a glimpse into your upcoming book.
Hi, Teddy, and welcome to everyone that's listening to this episode at Extend Women in Tech podcast. And I'm so glad to be recording a new episode with you, Teddy. And this time it's us, and
Yes.
mostly focused about me and my book, Learning Microsoft Azure, which is definitely something I like to share with our listeners of this podcast. So thank you for the idea of having me as the guest of of our own podcast as well.
I know. It's a pleasure. Like we haven't talked a while about your book, and then it's in the process of the final stage, so it's a
Yes.
must talk now.
Yes, that's right. So though to those that have been following me on LinkedIn or Twitter, I share a lot about my journey of my first book project with O'Reilly. O'Reilly is a publishing company, book publishing company that's very known for the past many years for their technical books around the world, and they have their own unique way of publishing, including the commonly known having the endangered animals on their cover pages. But yeah, I do have a project with them that a book project called with for in writing a book called Learning Microsoft Azure Cloud I mean Computing and Development Fundamentals. And it's a book, my first ever book that I have been working on for almost 2 years, actually. Not full time, because I do have my normal job as well, but usually in my evenings and weekends. So a lot of free time that got devoted to this book.
I know. Shall we go to our questions that we're gonna discuss about? Not questions, but discussion, a point that we take about your book, Learning Microsoft Azure, and what motivated you to write the book?
Yes, that's a very good question. What motivated me to write a book, this book? To be honest, I didn't have the plan to write this book at the beginning, like if I look back a few years ago. But what really motivated me to write this book, Learning Microsoft Azure, is, or actually my migration experience as a developer. So years, a few years ago, I've been involved in a cloud migration project in which I had to responsibility both as a developer slash architect slash whatever roles or job to migrate legacy .NET legacy applications to the cloud because of legacy reasons and support reasons. And that was the first and most motivations why I wrote the book, because that migration project actually led me to learn a lot of things about cloud migration, specifically cloud development to Azure. And also, it motivated me to learn and share about those lessons as fundamentals to others who are new in the cloud, regardless if it's like IT pros, IT managers, or even developers that have no idea how it works in migrating or developing with cloud. So that motivated me, that project, and I did share part of the reasons of this motivation in the preface of my book.
Oh, great to hear that.
Yes.
It's a great inspiration that you took your migration process into a book.
Yes, I
I'm eager
did.
to read your book anyhow.
Yes, you will definitely get a physical copy from me, Sherry.
Yeah, you promise that
Yes, I
for
did
sure.
promise you. And then we're gonna be doing mentorship together about Azure, so we can use that as a reference as well. And I can answer your questions related to the topic itself.
Yes, yeah. So, are there any prerequisite or recommended background knowledge for readers who want to get the most out of your book?
Yes, definitely. Not in the high level, of course. So, for my book, since it's a fundamentals for cloud development or cloud computing, of course, it is it's good, at least for the readers to have this technical background to understand the terms that I was referring about. But if you're someone that's just like, for example, studying web development or development in general, or someone that works in IT projects or IT organizations, working with cloud projects or even app development projects and on-premises or standard IT infrastructure, I think this is a book that you can relate to. And even if you don't have any technical background, I think this is something that's good fundamentals as well for those that are like in schools or universities trying to learn cloud.
Perfect. That's good because it's some books that are not like for beginners. Some book are advanced, you know.
Yes.
There are such kinds of categories that you want to get in engage yourself when you pick a book.
Yes, that's right. Actually, I intended my book. I really planned my book when I wrote this book project proposal to my book publishing company, O'Reilly. I really planned the book in advance before I started writing it, and I did really plan with the mindset in mind. Of course, the motivation, the purpose why I wrote the book is there, but I really planned beforehand that I want my book to be something that's open or inclusive for everybody, and not just those that are really good already in cloud development. I wanted to welcome those that are beginners as well. But even if you are intermediate developers that already started developing applications to the cloud, you still can get a hang of it, because even if you're in the project of cloud, working with cloud like applications right now, there might be certain things in your task that you still need to learn more about the cloud platform. Like, for example, knowing which service in Azure to use if you're trying to implement container solutions, if you're trying to do event-driven applications. So in my book, I did actually like categorize it by different categories in Azure, so that it's easier, or it helps at least the readers, even beginners, to kind of like identify, ah, I would use this service if I need to do this for a specific use case, and the other way around. So, yeah. That's the reason why I want my book to be inclusive. And of course, I advocate diversity, inclusion, and welcoming women in tech. So I want it to be an easy onboarding for them as well.
It's good. It's depending on interests, so people can relate, align with their goals and knowledge level. That's good.
Yes, that's right. So this is also a book for you, Chetty. I think you will follow through along as well.
Yeah, I think I have to start this thing somehow. Yeah.
I did actually design or not design. Yeah, not I am the designer or the one that built the structure of my book, but I did really start the first chapter to the basics of cloud computing, because you won't be able to start, you can't start learning what Azure services or Azure development without knowing first what really cloud is compared to the traditional infrastructure that we have in the good old days or traditionally. So yeah, I think it would be something
Yeah,
for
interesting.
everyone.
All right, good, good.
Yes, it looks like you're excited to read my
Yeah,
book already.
it is,
You can
it
read
is.
my early release version, or you
Oh,
can wait for the final product. It really depends.
yeah, but I want to have the hard copy, so.
Yeah, I know. Yes, I know some of my followers, like I share a lot about the early release. Some of them are really eager to read the early release version because I like that, because I get feedback at the same time, and then I can improve the book as I get feedback. But some of my like followers and friends, they really want to wait for the final product because they want to have the paper copy and then a signed copy from me, and not buy it somewhere else. So that is a token of appreciation, at least for those that follows me and appreciate my work.
Of course, that's the reason,
Yes, that's great.
Yeah,
Yes.
going forward, I always wonder why one choose or why enterprises choose Microsoft Azure. Does it make it as a popular choice for cloud computing? Or in another way, what makes Microsoft Azure a popular choice for cloud computing and enterprise solutions?
Yes, that's a great question, Chetty. So Microsoft Azure, which is the topic of my book, it's one of the popular, like, top cloud computing providers that we have today in terms of enterprise solutions and even personal project solutions, or even, I mean, enterprise solutions can mean in different levels. It can be high, large enterprises. It can be small scale as well, but I believe there are other cloud computing providers as well that are top these days. We have AWS, we have Google Cloud. In Europe, I think it's Azure is pretty popular and widely spread out, and I think it's because of community as well around Azure community within Europe that's very strong and big. But otherwise, other providers are great alternative. But my focus is Azure, and I believe that Azure is a popular choice for cloud computing in terms of services and solutions, because it suits most of the Microsoft technologies that we are developing, or some teams, or most of the teams. Not all teams are developing with Microsoft languages, but like, for example, if you have an application that's built with .NET in the background, or Microsoft technologies, and even open source, Microsoft has this variation and support for all technology languages or programming languages, regardless if it's an application for with microservices, the traditional ones. If you want to do containers, Azure has that as well. And I notice also that Microsoft is pretty big in terms of cognitive services and AI services lately, in terms of like implementing it into their services. Like, if you notice, they recently announced and built the Copilot support for both Microsoft 365 and all the de other dev tools. And even in GitHub, you have code spaces where which is at GitHub is actually open source, but Microsoft also owns it. And GitHub also has this AI feature for developers that allows them to have virtual developer containers through code spaces and literally just develop their code and do pair programming on their web browser. And then the Copilot that uses AI to help developers think and solve some problems. But of course, AI, you cannot really trust it 100% as a developer. You need to think and solve the problems. Just use AI to assist you, but don't let it solve the problem for you.
So can we say that many businesses already use Microsoft products so that they incline to Microsoft Azure because there is an integration, any seamless integration with existing technologies they use, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So Microsoft Azure is widely used, and they actually gained a lot of popularity for the past years, to be honest. AWS is also a big cloud computing, but they have accelerated a lot of things and services and features that's well integrated to most cloud development projects that many are aiming today, especially. Cloud is getting popular, so many applications that are still on-prem are trying to move to the cloud. And if your company that has your IT infrastructure on premises or the standard in IT infrastructure, you want to choose a cloud provider that allows you to save money. At the same time, it will help your development teams, IT teams, to be productive. And of course, you want to have capability to not worry about the infrastructure. And the one of the things that many organizations are considering Azure, it's because, or Azure or any cloud solutions, it's because companies don't have to worry about the data centers. So if you host your applications to Azure, it means you as an organization do not need to worry about where is my server is located. I need to have like people maintaining it physically in those data centers. With Azure, you can literally build your applications for your business directly in the cloud using PaaS or serverless solutions without worrying about the infrastructure behind it. So Azure has that. You just need to choose the region. In Azure, there's a concept called Azure region. So let's just say I'm someone, an IT company that wants to build enterprise solutions within Sweden. Then I have Sweden Central as my Azure region. And that's the closest data center of Azure in my area. It means that it's gonna like support and provide all the cloud services that your so enterprise application needs for your users. And the mostly good features of cloud or Azure is the option to scale up and scale down when the demands increases or decreases. So when it decreases, of course, you can set it up automatically. When it needs to be decreased because there's less people using your applications, then it can do that automatically as well. And this scalability features is not possible to do in traditional or non-cloud type of infrastructure. So those are a few advantages. I'm sorry, I talked a lot about it. It's like you
I
can really
know.
feel that that I am really passionate about Azure and cloud talks.
Yeah, I
Sorry
see
that
the global
it.
presence of Azure data centers so that it's easier.
Yes, it
Yeah,
is
I
everywhere.
understand. Yeah. But
Yes,
do you
great.
think that it's developer friendly as well? Like,
Yes, it is actually. So I believe it is developer friendly in a way that Azure as a cloud platform supports polyglot programming languages, which means polyglot, it's like it supports different languages. If you're a C# developer, you can develop applications with it. If you're a TypeScript or JavaScript developer or front-end developer, you have a specific easy solutions also that you can develop with it. And likewise for PowerShell lovers or container gurus, there is option for that. So it's a platform that most developers enjoy because they get to learn and develop modern solutions without like compromising their favorite languages that they want to keep learning or work on.
Top three important topics covered in your book that readers can expect to learn about.
That's a great question, Shetty. So aside from of course the basics of like cloud computing, which is the first chapter is about, the top three topics that I would think that is useful for the readers of my book is the topics I shared about cloud development in general, like knowing what compute services to use in Azure when you're developing applications. Another second key topics or important topics that I highlighted is also in this book is actually there is a lot. There is more than three, but it's 14 chapters, but I want to share it. It's only focused on a lot of things that can help developers in terms of cloud development. I did share about a lot about compute, databases, as well as networking. And another thing that's important is also DevOps, infrastructure as code, and different developer tools that will help developers in developing with Azure. And then the third and last one, which is very important, is I in several parts of my book, I did touch on also topics on cloud architecture and how organizations and teams can prepare themselves in migrating applications to Azure with the help of, for example, the well-architected framework for Azure or the cloud adoption framework for Azure, as well as other migration tools available for all.
I believe it gives you a solid foundation in Azure.
Yes, it's like it's hard to answer when you said top three because like the entire book itself definitely I think I mean not just think but I truly believe it will have the foundational for everyone not just for those top three but also like in terms of compute, networking, security, DevOps, developer tools, and migration and architecture, which is really important to learn. I mean, not all together, I mean, in details, but to understand at least these concepts as one in order to really have this full picture of understanding what cloud development or cloud really is. What is it that you're trying to put up there in the cloud that you feel confident in moving and migrating there? And of course, to solve problems, because if even if you moved it to the cloud, doesn't mean you got less problems, right? There are things to solve all the time, or problems to tackle, of course.
So, how does your book incorporate the latest update and changes in the Azure platform? Because there are a lot of new things while upcoming, or they came out after you start your writing. So, will it remain relevant as Azure continues to evolve? And then also, what are your processes like in researching and writing this book as an author? Did you encounter
Yes.
any interesting insights you discovered along the way? Have you learned something new? Oh, I didn't know this thing. Were there any kind of that aha moment for you?
Yeah, that's a nice question or interesting question, Shadi. Very relevant as well. So, my book, it's actually the first edition. My book, is a living document. It's a living like documentation of my work or about Azure. And how I incorporate the latest updates and changes to the Azure platform, that's a really, really Good question, because that's one of the challenges that many of the community members, or even those that are working with this platform, have to adopt. Because as technology changes, of course, the platform itself also needs to adapt. So, in terms of my book, I really have to keep myself updated on whatever is coming to the Microsoft Azure platform arena every time there's new updates. So I try my best to not to not lose track of that and to keep myself updated. And how do I keep myself updated? Of course, by reading Microsoft Learn documentation, being connected to the community. And of course, I myself is a Microsoft MVP, which gives me the access to know about what's coming into this platform. And of course, I try to attend the builds and conferences, and of course, researching and contacting the right people to know what's new in the technology. And in terms of incorporating those changes in my book, I always have to always like go back to the previous chapter. Like, let's just say I actually have a few instances of experience related to this. So, for example, there's a technology in Azure called, it's one of their IoT service. It's called Azure Percept. And Azure Percept, at the time when I wrote this in one of my earlier chapter, it was still like actual. And then later on, a month has passed, while I was looking at the updates and the documentation, I learned that this service, Azure Percept, will be phased out. So I had to go back to my chapters, even if I'm trying to move forward, and then remove that and edit that and maybe add a note that this is going to be phased out. And then that there were cases that I really had to update a lot of things or some things in this to keep my book actual and updated, and even the names. So even if this book gets printed very soon, I need to go through everything until now and make sure that it's still the latest and greatest topic available for my readers when it comes out, even the digital version. So it doesn't matter if it's a printed or digital. So as I discover, as I do my changes, as I write, I do editing, I learn a lot from that experience. And that's one of the things that I can always bring with me as a learning experience in this book project. I learn a lot as I write, as much as like you're teaching, the more you teach or talk about the topic, the more you learn. It's also the same for me. The more you write about topics related to this platform, the more you develop your knowledge and skills as well.
Yeah, that's good. I know that you engage with community. You also run a community, so that makes you stay informed with the best
Yes.
practices. And then also
Yes.
you attend conferences, and also you are also a key speaker on many of the events that you are attend to. So
Yes. It's
yeah.
input and output, right? I mean, the more you learn from others, the more you can also share with others. So I really like the idea that all the so the reason why this book is happening or it's created, it's because of my learned experience. And the more I write about it and I learn from the communities that I have involved with, including Azure User Group Sweden, the more input and the more we can share to others. And that's the purpose. Like you're writing a book to share our knowledge to the readers, and the reader's purpose to read is to learn. So it's like a give and take as well. So I really like that idea.
So I would encourage our listeners to subscribe to your blogs,
Yes.
or at least visit your blog, so that I know you share your updates and articles there. I
I
think it's
haven't
a
been
good
actually
opportunity.
active. I haven't actually been active updating that, but I'm actually from time to time I update my blog, not with technical topics because I've been busy with public speaking lately and the book project, but my blog I update it with all the communities events I'm involved with, and sometimes I share about technical stuff as well. But I'm pretty active otherwise in my social media channels to share to my network.
Are there practical examples, case studies, or hands-on exercises on your book? And also, are there materials that supplement your or complement your book, such as tutorials, code samples, and so forth?
Yes, that's great. A good question. Yes, they actually have. So my book is it's a learning book. So aside from the topics discussed, the categories in that book, in each chapter, I do have like recommended learning resources, which actually a list of additional resources. And information that the readers can read farther if they want to deep dive about the topic. And I also have a section in my book that says Learn by Doing. It's more like about five or six items of practical quick starts of hands-on exercises that I recommend that they try in relevance to the topic that's discussed on this chapter. And of course they I did mention, especially in the compute part of the topic, I did also indicated some coded samples and use case studies on the topic discussed.
Good, that's good.
Yes.
Moving forward, I would like to ask you if you had the opportunity to advise your younger self or at the beginning of your career, considering your achievements now, like event speaking, invitation, consulting work that you do now, what would you share?
Okay, so yeah, thanks for the question, Shetty. If I had an opportunity to give wisdom and advice to my younger self, I think I would advise my younger self to be less shy, because that's why one of the things that like blocker of a barrier for me in my younger age, because I was very shy. I mean, if I didn't conquer the shyness that I had when I was younger, I don't think I would be a public speaker today. So I would advise my younger self to be courageous and be more courageous than you should be actually, and just dare do things that you want and follow your heart. Yeah, that's my advice. It's like my
Important
common
wisdom.
advice.
Yeah,
Yes,
thank you for
yes.
that.
Yeah, thank you. If my younger self, a smaller version of me, could hear that, then I think she would appreciate that.
I'm sure about that.
And I also believe that everything happens for a reason, right? I mean, if you don't encounter challenges in your life, just like what I had as well, you don't get to expose yourself to be stronger, because sometimes we don't get stronger if we don't expose to these challenges or weaknesses that we have, right? So if I was too confident already as a child, maybe I won't, something else happen. Maybe I'm not a public speaker, maybe I'm a actress or whatever. Because something happens, everything happens for a reason. And I truly believe personally that my journey, even my challenges and problems in life in the past, I believe they are very important, because that made me who I am today, and that made me become stronger as I am today, which actually makes me feel more humble to go back, look back into the past, and also compare and look back, look forward into the future, compare them. And that's where, when you have this past and you have this future, and how you see the difference and how you connect it, it's like you're connecting the missing pieces and you see the key thing that led you from where you are from step A to B is you being courageous, that being brave and not giving up. So I'm glad that my younger self, instead of advising her that you should have done this and that, I would rather say them thanking, giving thanks to my younger self for not giving up. Because if she gave up in those younger years, I wouldn't be where I am today. Right? So, yeah, I hope our listeners can relate to my wisdom talk right
I
now.
know, I know, I know you have built your self-confidence gradually, exposing yourself to social situations and forth. That's a good advice. Thank you, Jonah. Lastly, we are on our. There is one question I would like to ask you. If anybody wants to write a book, what's your advice to those who wants to write a book, and how should they start? And then what kind of techniques they should follow?
Yes, that's good advice. Actually, I already got like few friends in the community or my connections in LinkedIn that asked me for advice about writing a book. So, but this is a relevant question. So, thank you that you asked that. So, I think my first about advice about writing a book, especially if it's your first book, especially a technical book as well, is to step back and think if it is really what you want to do. Because I wrote the book because I have this idea to write down or document all the lessons learned that I had in my migration project that really gave me a lot of re lessons, not just like career-wise, technical-wise, knowledge-wise. But also to think about the purpose, because I think when you write a book or even if you do something, it is important to know your motivations and your purpose, your goal. And if you're doing it only for yourself because you want to be famous for writing a book or because you want to earn money from book writing, money-wise, I don't think book gives you a lot of money, but my first advice is to think of your purpose, and that purpose should be not for yourself, but to help and share knowledge to others. If you have that mindset at the beginning of your planning of writing your book, and I think you will have all the motivations that you need in making through all your projects. And of course, when you're in the process of the project, it really requires time. You need to prepare to have time for your project, devotion for that, and to try to make it to the finish line, and also patience, because book writing also requires getting a lot of feedback from different people, from your publisher, from your tech reviewers, from public. And receiving feedback is also a skill itself that I've learned during this book writing process. You get to learn to be patient and remove your ego and then listen to others and accept feedback as a constructive comment to improve your work. So that's my advice. So if you're prepared to do that, then you're ready to start writing a book. But if you refuse, feel free to reach out to me and I can mentor you about book writing.
Yeah, that's good. So where do people can get your book then?
Yeah, so my book is available at actually both online. So if you are curious to read the first eight chapters, there's an early release version on O'Reilly Media's platform. I can add the link to on the podcast description. I also shared it a lot in my social media. And otherwise, it is actually available already for pre-order in Amazon and other stores worldwide. And yes, it's coming up for us. Estimated like publishing date would be after summer. And yeah, if you need a link or complimentary access, feel free to reach out to me, including you, Shetty. If you want a
So,
paper copy.
yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, you want me to travel to Stockholm and
Yeah, of course.
let's do fika together. And
Yeah.
then you want me to like sign the book in front of you. That's
Yeah,
what you
that's what we're planning, like
Yes. So I actually hope so. Aside from like doing fika with you, Shetty, aside from that, let's hope we can plan like a book release party somewhere in Stockholm, and we can invite like women in tech friends or your friends that are developers. So we can, I mean, anybody actually, we can do plan a book release signing in Stockholm. And I think we planned it where you're gonna help me find a place for the events for that. I'm
Yeah.
really excited to do some event with you with this book release together. We can do it in Stockholm.
Yes, we are hoping to do that. And anybody who wants to join us, they are free to join.
Yes, and not just the book signing, and that would be an opportunity for you if you come to that book release plan that Shetty and I is planning for, it will be an opportunity for you to be maybe interviewed in our podcast and join us
Yes.
and share your story, just like what we did in this episode.
Yeah. We would like to reveal place and date for this book
Yes.
release in our next or in our
Upcoming. When we
upcoming
know.
episode. Yeah.
Yeah, this is just a
any
plan right now, a big
yeah.
plan.
Yeah. Anything you
Yes.
wanna say at last, Jonah?
Nothing actually. I think we nothing so special except that I really want to thank our you, Shetty, for asking this great questions about my book. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to take this episode to share about the work that I do on the side, aside from our podcast. I want to thank you, our listeners, as well for listening this episode to learn more about my book project and the purpose of having learning Microsoft Azure.
Yeah, we can't wait to get your book copy. But we'd
Yes.
like to thank our listeners today. Thank you
Yes.
for tuning and joining us in this episode. I appreciate Jonah for
Yes, thank you so
sharing
much.
her book journey with us today. And we value our listeners and support.
This episode is not the typical episode that we have where we usually share tech stories, but we really appreciate your time learning about this topic. And if you want to listen to our previous episode before this and the future ones, feel free to follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and we are also available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and I think Spotify Podcasters as well. So if you are someone that's listening to us today and have a story to share or a journey to share about your work as a developer or anything that you do within IT to help inspire others, feel free to reach out to me and Shetty on LinkedIn if you want to be our guest. We do actually have a call for speakers and sessionize that you can fill in the form to request or to submit your session, and usually Chetty and I will reach out to you directly.